Welcome to Proclaiming the One. This is Pastor Clint Poppy. Along with me is Pastor Adam Moline, Vicar Albert Bader. We are thrilled to be able to bring to you once again the readings for the upcoming Sunday. Today we're going to be looking at the readings for the 19th Sunday after Trinity. We are past the celebration of St. Michael and All Angels, historically called Michael Mass. And we are now in the last third of our common season in the church year. This has always been a significant turning point in the liturgical church year, a significant turning point in the readings and the focus. And you're going to notice over the next several weeks as we get closer and closer to the end of the church year, how we are getting more of a sense of urgency. More of a sense that the world is coming to an end, and not to cling too tightly to the things of this world, but to get our spiritual house in order. Judgment day cometh, and right soon. So today on the 19th Sunday after Trinity, our introit is a hodgepodge from a lot of different places, but primarily Psalm 35. We have a little bit of Psalm 35, a little bit of Psalm 34, and portions of Psalm 78 as well. Vicar, do you want to take us away with the introit?
Say to my soul, I am your salvation. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears. The Lord saves him out of all of his troubles. This is God, our God, forever and ever. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known, that our fathers have told us. We will tell the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might, and the wonders that he has done.
Okay, so we've got several things that are going on here. And right off the bat, say to my soul, I am your salvation. So what's the big deal here, Pastor? Why does my soul need to know that God is my salvation? What's the problem with my soul?
Yeah, your soul is rotten, is sinful, is fallen. All that you are fell with Adam and Eve and into the sin in the Garden of Eden. And so as a result, it does not believe in God. It does not love God. It does not obey God. And so your soul needs to be pointed to God, needs to be reminded of the salvation that Jesus Christ has won on the cross. That's something your soul cannot find on its own. It needs the Holy Spirit to point it in that direction, and needs God to say to it, I am your salvation.
So without this revealed knowledge of God, the soul keeps on searching and seeking. And what are some of the things potentially that the soul might latch onto that would be less than helpful?
Well, yeah, that's a long list. How long are we going to have our show today?
Oh, yeah, just, you know, we'll edit it later
yeah.
on.
Well, I mean, your soul, it can latch on to its love of money. It can latch on to its love of possessions. It can latch on to its love of family and friends higher than God. That one's always kind of one that stings a little bit. It's good to love your family, but it's good to love God first and foremost as well. Your sinful soul can latch on to sin that it loves, things that go against God's word. Follow after those things instead of God. Like I said, the list could go on and on and on, but your sinful soul loves basically anything it can except for God.
So you gave a litany there of things that are in and of themselves not bad.
Right.
But when they become God, when we turn them into idols, they are bad. Where our introit is going to drive us in these particular verses that are set before us from Psalm 34, Psalm 35, and Psalm 78 is not so much the material things, the things that are good in and of themselves, first article gifts that we turn into idols,
right?
But the soul latches on to lies.
Yes.
Lies. Who in the world or even outside the world, who would want to lie to my soul?
Yeah, Satan does. Satan does not want you to be saved. Satan does not want you to belong to God. Satan does not want you to love God. He's lost the war against God, and his punishment draws ever nearer, eternity in hell apart from God. And he hates you so much, he wants to take you to hell with him. It's the same thing, you know, when you're a kid, you get in trouble with your mom and dad, say you break the vase on the mantle or whatever. When mom and dad get home and you're the one who broke it, sometimes you also want to get your brother in trouble at the same time, to drag him down with you so that you don't suffer alone. You know, our punishment as kids was shoveling horse manure and wheelbarrowing it down to the garden. And so better to do that with someone else than to do it by yourself. Take your brother down with you. That's the same thing Satan wants to do. He wants you to suffer the same way he knows he is going to. And so he seeks to lead your soul away from salvation.
So one of the names Scripture has for Satan is Beelzebul, and that is the father of lies, Lord of the flies, father of lies. And these lies come to us from Satan through the world, from Satan through our own sinful flesh. And so we are bombarded with lies. Our soul, afflicted by sin, real sin, cannot find any peace, any comfort, any solace in these lies. Oh, it may be temporary. It may seem like it's going to be a quick fix, but it's not. There's no lasting value of all. And so here in our introit for the 19th Sunday after Trinity, God points us to the source of truth, and specifically the source of truth that he is pointing us to. And people that have been around me for a while know this phrase, the Word, the Word, the Word. The Word of God is true. Now, the Word took on flesh, so Jesus is true. The Word is written down for us in the Bible, so the Bible is true. And that Word comes to us attached to physical things, like the word of your pastor when he speaks absolution into your ear, the gift of holy baptism, where we are washed with the robe of righteousness that Christ and Christ alone can give, where the body and blood of Jesus, crucified and risen for forgiveness, life, and salvation, is put into us and is pumping into our vein. This is true. And this is how God soothes and comforts our afflicted soul. We have this promise from God. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears. So, Vicar, how do I make myself righteous so God will hear my prayers? What do I need to do? What checklist do I need to follow? How do I become righteous?
In and of ourselves, there's nothing that we can do to make us righteous. We're passive in all of that. We simply believe that we are righteous because we have had these gifts from God bestowed upon us. Baptism when you're an infant, where your sins are washed away. The Word of God that is rightly proclaimed in your ears to tell you that you are forgiven because of all the great things that God has done for us, namely that his Son, Jesus Christ, took on our flesh and died a bloody death on Calvary's cross to forgive us all of our sins. There's nothing in and of ourselves that we do to make ourselves righteous. We are made righteous by God.
Now, that was the vicar speaking. And I, Pastor, I just want to make sure, you know, we have this lowly, untrained intern here that just said, I can't make myself righteous. It has to come from outside of me. Correct everything that the vicar said that was wrong.
Yeah, lowly indeed, right? No, the small catechism says, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. And that's good news. There's nothing in you that makes you holy or worthy to be in God's presence. It's entirely grace. God gives his grace to you. God pours out his mercy upon you. God makes you holy through Jesus. And so what the vicar said is correct in that regard.
It is absolutely correct and absolutely essential for us. so we can be confident. The Lord saved him, saved us, out of all his troubles. This is our God forever and ever. He's not going to change the rules. He's not going to say, well, I made these people righteous, but now you have to make yourself righteous. No, this is God's MO for all eternity. And so how do we know about this righteousness? How do we stay connected to this righteousness? How does God keep us into this righteousness? The Word of God.
Yes.
Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. We have, and then at the very last part, we will tell the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord. All of these things point us to the Holy Scriptures, to the Word of God, to the teaching. Pastor, why is it important for the Christian who knows that he's righteous, who knows that his sins are forgiven, to stay connected to that Word of God?
Yeah, the Word of God continues to feed the faith that Christ has created, the Holy Spirit has created in the person. And all these words that we've been reading here from this part of the introit go back to the second commandment, where you shall not, I just drew a blank there.
Misuse
the name of the Lord your God. Thank you. And we oftentimes think this means we shouldn't curse and swear, and that's true. But Luther in the Large Catechism says the biggest misuse of God's name is teaching false doctrine, because that false doctrine hurts our faith. It tears us away from Scripture. It tears us away from salvation, from forgiveness, from all those things. A word that's not a word from the Lord hurts our faith. For that reason, we ought to give ear to the true teaching, to incline our ears to the words of what God says. There is where our salvation is. In our world today, lots of people try to make church about community and the believers and, you know, all that stuff, which the church is a part of that. But the most important thing in the church is proclaiming the truth of what Scripture says, of what Jesus teaches, and holding that fast. Because when God's Word is spoken, it's truth and purity. The Holy Spirit is attached to that Word, creating and sustaining faith in the lives and hearts of those who hear that word.
So here in our intro, it's setting the stage for the rest of the theme of the day and setting the stage for the readings that are going to come here in our examination of the 19th Sunday after Trinity lessons. We have a battle line drawn very, very clearly between truth and falsehood. Between true teaching and false teaching, between the Word of God and the words of the devil, the world, and our flesh. This is a battle that the Christian enters into, whether he likes it or she likes it or not. Remember what happened after Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River. Immediately, especially we read this in the Gospel of Mark, immediately the Spirit flung him, cast him, ekbalo, violently threw him out into the wilderness where he was tempted by Satan. This is what happens to all of the baptized. We live in the wilderness of this world, a wilderness that is characterized by lies and false teaching. They promise a placebo for your soul, your tormented soul that is tormented by sin and guilt and anguish and shame and on and on and on. Then there is only one thing that can bring peace to the tormented soul. That is the righteousness that comes from outside of us. That is the righteousness that is Jesus Christ. And that is the truth that is revealed in his word. I'm getting fired up. Can you tell? Mm-hmm. All right, we need to take a short break. We'll be back with our gospel reading. If you want to get your Bibles out, Matthew 9:1-8. Don't go away. We'll be right back.